Today's topic is how to live our most empowered and authentic lives with Dr. Shefali.
Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what. Step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
You're going to be in for a good ride. I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it, one way or another, good or bad.
Being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hi, Giovanna Rossi here, and welcome to another episode of The Well Woman Show, where I interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. Are you feeling burned out or finding it hard to focus on your goals? Or are you in transition? Well, you're not alone. We all need to activate our superpowers. These are the internal strengths and abilities we all already have but don't use all the time. Superpowers can be cultivated, and they include empathy, love, intuition, courage, and more. Toward the end of the show, in a segment called Superpowers for Success, I ask my guest about her superpowers, and the answers will give you the strength, perspective, and power to live a well woman life. I'm so happy you're here, so thanks for tuning in. Now, before I bring on my guest, as always, this episode is brought to you by Well Woman Life, a global community of women living our best lives. Whether it's your health, relationships, your money, or making an impact in your community and the world, Well Woman Life has you covered. You've made a commitment to not settle, to use your voice, and to live your best life. Well Woman Life offers annual memberships, workshops, and retreats to support you. Check out wellwomanlife.com/Facebook to join our growing community. Now back to the show. Today's topic is how to live our most empowered and authentic lives, and hopefully by the end of the show, you'll be inspired to challenge the mainstream belief system and start a conscious practice of co-creating your reality. My guest today is Dr. Shefali Sabari. Dr. Shefali is a world-renowned clinical psychologist who received her doctorate from Columbia University in New York. She specializes in the integration of Eastern philosophy and Western psychology, making her an expert in her field. She's the author of several books, including The Conscious Parent. In this episode, Dr. Shefali and I talk about how we can live our most empowered and authentic lives, what you can do when you want to practice conscious parenting, and how a conscious practice creates less stress and more freedom. The free giveaway today is Dr. Shefali's essay on love, and you can get it at wellwomanlife.com/077show. I love this giveaway because it challenges mainstream thinking and beautifully examines loving with consciousness. Before we begin, I want to let you know that I'll be in LA at Podcast Movement, which is the big conference for podcasters and anybody interested in podcasting. I'll be presenting on the virtual ticket on how to rock your remote events. You can go to wellwomanlife.com/podcastmovement for more info. And while I'm there, I'm going to be hosting a Well Woman Drinks on the Tuesday of the conference. And that is August 29th. And so if you are going to be attending Podcast Movement, definitely register for the event on the website, wellwomanlife.com/podcastmovement. And I also want to let you know that this year's Superpower Retreat, it's the third year we've done it. It's been growing every year. It's super popular. We have limited seating. It will be October 26th and 27th in beautiful Santa Fe, New Mexico. So save the date and check out wellwomanlife.com/retreat for more information about that. You can also join the conversation in the Well Woman Life community group at wellwomanlife.com/Facebook. Now to my interview with Dr. Shefali. Okay, I'm here sitting with Dr. Shefali today at the Chopra Center in beautiful California. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you.
It's so wonderful to sit here with you. I want to start by having you tell listeners, and of course, I said in the introduction, you know, the basics about you, and I think a lot of our listeners know you and have seen you in your many appearances and your books. But can you tell us, Dr. Shefali, what you're working on and how it impacts women's lives and well-being?
Well, I think my main approach and my body of work is always concerned with how it is we can live our most empowered and authentic lives. And how can we raise our children to do that? And of course, in order to raise our children, we have to embody that authenticity ourselves. So my work is always connected to the empowerment of not just women, but really the authentic self, the flourishing of each one of ours, most real, truest potential, both the man and the woman, because the man's authentic self impacts us as women as well. And we want to raise our sons and daughters as equally being honest and true to themselves as we want to raise ourselves to be that.
So I want to dig into this a little bit, but I want to also ask you, is your message only heard by those who are quote unquote ready to hear? Or how do you reach people who may not know that they would benefit by hearing what you have to say?
Sure. You know, it's always hard because messages like mine, which ask you to work on yourself, always require a certain readiness and a preparation. Fortunately, I also teach about parenting. So every parent believes that their child could become better. So naively, they come to my doorstep thinking I'm going to fix their child. And then I kind of cajole and sweeten and seduce them to hear how it is they need to change. So thankfully, because I talk about parenting, I get many people to naively come thinking it's about the child. And that's how I get them. So even if they're not ready, they kind of get seduced into the message. And of course, only half or a quarter may stay. But so I do get an unprepared audience as well. But ideally, I want to get those people who are coming with full intention, with full consciousness. But that really makes the pickings slim. You know, it really reduces the populace to like 5% or 1%. You know, how many people really wake up in the morning and say, I want to embark on the most arduous process of self-awareness and excavation of the truth? Very few of us are looking to live at that highest, honest level. So the way I've managed to get the unsuspecting audience is to talk about parenting. And through the desire to raise the perfect child, I teach them about entering their truest self.
Yeah, I want to pick up on that because I often, as a parent myself, I have a 5 and an 8-year-old, and I sort of joke to people, but I'm quite serious, that parenting is really the most intense personal development journey mm-hmm. of my life. Yes. And some people look at me and like totally get it and laugh and stuff. And then other people, it just sort of glosses over. And it's interesting because I just assume like, well, if you're a parent, you must understand what I'm talking about. Yes. And I don't know that they do. But anyway, it's been such a personal development journey.
Yeah, I don't think there are many similar relationships that can rival the intensity and depth to which your children will bring you to your knees and ask you at one point or the other to look at yourself. You know, every other relationship, you can fob off the responsibility and say, well, we're both adults, you know, so it's 50-50. But with children, really, in all honesty, you can't say that because you've been kind of quote unquote in charge. And those little defenseless 2-year-olds, I mean, how much havoc could they have wreaked, right? So it's really you doing onto them. So taking responsibility responsibility for that and not pretending like it's your child's fault, who's only like 6 months old or 2 years old or 10 years old or 15. You know, who is the adult in the room? But you realize in the parenting process that you are rarely an adult. And if your child is a 2 year old, you're going to be a 2 year old. If they're 6 years old, you're going to be six. You know, and you realize, my goodness, I haven't grown up much. I'm pretty much as immature as my child, if not more immature, right? But this is the beauty of this journey, that you get to see through the mirror of your child's process how you haven't developed yourself much, right? How you haven't grown yourself up. And then parenting becomes not about the raising of the child, but really about the raising of the parent.
I love that. So on one of your television appearances, I think it was a Super Soul Sunday, I'm not sure which one, with Oprah, she called you a revolutionary and introduced you that way. What is revolutionary about your approach?
I just think it's revolutionary because mainstream is so predictable that my approach appears revolutionary, but really it shouldn't be. My approach should be, not my approach. First, it's not my approach, right? It is just an approach that should be the mainstream. So I guess what she was referring to is, because the mainstream fixes the child, the mainstream points the finger outside. And this approach that I'm espousing insists, you know, relentlessly persists in the pursuit of the inner responsibility and understanding how we're co-creating our reality, and doesn't allow the parent to rest in the laurels of the child, and forces the parent actually to divest themselves from any identification with their children. This is so hard for parents to do. Our very identity is wrapped up in our children. But I show how parents are using their children to fulfill their own inner lack. And no parent likes to hear that.
I want to ask you, Dr. Shefali, for a specific example. When you were on the show, the Super Soul Sunday that I saw, and you talked about a woman who had a 2 year old who was having a hard time connecting. And so you went, this is when you were doing home visits, and you went and visited, and the child wasn't connecting with the mother. And then the mother left the room, and you did some work with the child, and you were able to connect, and the child was fine with you. And so you said, you know, got to explain this to the mom now. How did you explain that to her? And did she end up being able to connect? And how did she do that?
Well, I don't right away, you know, point a finger at the parent and go, see, the child is okay and you're messed up. The right, we have to be very delicate with the parental ego because they're so fragile. But what that allowed me to see is that the parent was sitting on a hotbed of unexplored emotional baggage that needed to be explored and that she needed to be freed off. So I gently began excavating the parent's past and discovered that she had a history of alcoholism and neglect and her own trauma that was really stopping her from connecting with her child. You know, it's not out of intention that we are so messed up. It's really out of our unconsciousness and because we've been messed up with. So helping heal her helps heal the child. And when you heal the child, you heal the future.
And so in that particular example, I was just curious, was she able to work through it and yes. make progress with her child?
Oh, yes, she was able to connect. It took a long time and it's still a work in progress, but she was able to detach from the idea that it was the child's responsibility, right? And she began to understand how her own wounds were impacting the relationship.
So this brings up a larger issue about how the medical, how Western medicine is treating children, right? So if she had taken that child to a different doctor, the child may end up on meds. She may never have, you know, discovered these things. So can you speak to that?
Yeah, and not to out traditional Western approaches or Eastern approaches. This is not to point a finger. But really, as a field, we have a responsibility to protect our children. And we must ask the adults in the relationship to do their work before we explore the fixing of the child. You know, don't jump to the immediate and easy fix solution of projecting blame on the child and therefore fixing the child, diagnosing the child. That should be the last option, if on the most blizzardly cold blue moon, right? Like not even. And then demand of the adults in the child's environment to rise up, raise up and work on themselves fully. And it's an uncomfortable process, and it's not a conversation many professionals want to have, because you are going to get resistance and possibly the parent won't come back to you. So now your business is losing its lucrative aspect, but we can't look at it like that. We must protect the children, and it's us adults who are messed up, and we need to fess up and own up and do the work.
So on that note, how does one practice conscious parenting while at the same time surrounded by unconscious structures and systems and other people in your family? So do you see what I'm saying? If you're Absolutely. Trying to do that and you're surrounded by unsupportive.
Yes, basically it's virtually impossible. So what you have to do is several things. First, understand with courage that you are mired in a cesspool of unconsciousness all around you. Secondly, join a community. You know, so my concerted effort in life has been to create a community of conscious parents, right? So every year I do a summit that allows for the gathering of conscious parents. I do webinars online that allows communities to join together. You know, so you endeavor to create communities and pick and piece apart those that are conscious, and you separate the wheat from the chaff. But you also don't bemoan the fact that you're surrounded by unconsciousness. You use that to grow, right? It's not an us against them and we're so superior and they're not. No, we are also unconscious in many ways and will continue to be so. But there is a mainstream culture that is more unconscious. So we learn from that and we grow within that, right? The lotus must grow within the weeds. This is not about removing ourselves and secluding and sequestering ourselves on a mountaintop. It's about seeing what is, and amid that, rising higher.
Okay, and when parents are undertaking this massive task, right, of trying to be conscious parents, what do you say to parents who are just so busy with life already and stressed and trying to make ends meet and, you know, put dinner on the table and
do time to be conscious.
Do everything. What do they do?
Right. It's the question I get asked often. I'm so stressed out. I'm so busy. Who has time to be mindful? Right. Who has time to be conscious? And, you know, they don't hear the parody of what they're suggesting, because it's precisely those parents that need to become more mindful. So the conscious approach, really what I advocate in my books, The Conscious Parent, The Awakened Family, is actually the pathway to less stress, less anxiety, more liberation, more freedom, because you're divesting yourself from the ridiculous expectations that society has put on you and your children.
Dr. Shefali, what is one first step that people can take that's like a doable first step to get onto the path?
Right. The first step is not a doing. It's a break in the mainstream belief systems that we've ingrained ourselves with. So it's an awareness that I, as a person, a parent, a woman, am co-creating my reality, and I need to take responsibility for how it is I show up in the world, especially with my children.
Now it's time for our segment called Superpowers for Success. But first, a quick word from our sponsor. Being a well woman includes being financially healthy. Our sponsors, Lorraine L. and Kate Stalter of Better Money Decisions, are on a mission to eliminate complexity and confusion from your financial life. They replace Wall Street jargon with straightforward talk you can understand, and they create investment and retirement plans customized for your needs and your future. Download a free copy of their latest book, Don't Let Your Money Kick the Bucket Before You Do, and learn how to avoid the biggest mistakes women make when planning for retirement. Go to bettermoneydecisions.com/wellwoman and download your free book today. Wonderful. We're going into our final segment here called Superpowers for Success. And I know you're an entrepreneur and a doctor, and you have a lot going on. I want to ask you, what does success in life mean for you?
It certainly doesn't mean anything on the outside. It requires the definition that I use for success is, are you being your most authentic self? Are you waking up every morning and living your closest version to your highest truth? Are you able to express who it is you are without fear? Are you able to enter your divinity and live a boundless life? Are you able to sit on the couch and be serene in your quiet? You know, that to me is success.
And when did you know, Dr. Shefali, that you were really good at what you do?
I don't know whether I still know. I'm not seeking to be good at what I do. This is just what I need to do. So it's just an expression of who I am. I'm always surprised people come and hear me, but I'm not seeking that. I'm not seeking anything on the outside. I just need to tap into who I'm meant to be and just express that. So that's all I'm seeking to do every single day, and always pleasantly surprised when people show up.
I love that. But wasn't there a moment where your message really deeply connected with someone that you were working with and you thought, oh, wow, I've got this?
Yeah, but I'm very aware it's not me, right? I'm very clear that I am, if anything, being used by some collective consciousness or by the client to awaken something within them. So all I'm doing is echoing something that exists within them. There's no way that this message can resonate if it's already not sitting inside the client. So I'm just the impetus, I'm the match, I'm just the awakener. And then it's not even me as Shefali, you know, it's a collective consciousness coming through me that's being used by the client. You know, I'm the victim here, you know, I'm being used. Listen, it's not, and I'm certainly not in any way the creator of anything. You know, I'm just the impetus.
Dr. Shefali, what superpower did you discover you had only to realize it was there all the time?
Maybe just to be me, right? Just to enter who it is I am. And I think if I had a quote-unquote power, it would simply be the ability to open my heart and be able to express that and touch another's heart, you know, like just to be real.
And what advice would you give yourself 10 or 15 years ago?
I said this on the Super Soul session with Oprah, you know, when she asked, what advice would you give to your younger self? And I think looking back, all the restlessness I had, you know, will I be able to express who I am? Will I be able to be creative? Will I be able to deliver this message that is throbbing through my veins? You know, all that restlessness, the fear that I may never be able to manifest, was all to naught. There is a time for everything. There's a space for everything. And we need to simply allow the universe to work with us to unfold. We cannot rush it. And only now in my 40s do I just sit back and allow. But till I got here, I was always pushing and craving and desiring. And for some good, because it did take me ahead, but it also came with so much angst that I could have done without.
And do you identify as a feminist?
No, I don't identify with really any label. Even the label of a woman to me is limiting at the end of the day, because I'm just a being in the form of a woman in this lifetime. And I want to simply be connected to energy and source and divinity. So, yeah.
And what are you reading right now? What's on your nightstand?
Oh, goodness, because every time I start reading, I fall asleep. But what I always carry in my purse as my little reminder is the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying, because it reminds me to stay in the present moment, to detach from anything that may be consuming my ego and my attachments in the moment, all the shoulds and the coulds, and understand that I could die and I am dying. So that book just reminds me to keep it real and keep it big and keep it honest.
I love it. Thank you so much, Dr. Shefali, for being on the program today.
Thank you. You're delightful. Thank you so much for allowing me to share my message.
That's it for our show today. Remember, if you need support to live your well woman life, head over to wellwomanlife.com/Facebook to join us. Our monthly live event, Well Women Drinks, brings women together to share our successes and challenges as women, leaders, moms, aunts, sisters, and all the other roles we carry. If you'd like to attend a Well Women Drinks near you, or if there isn't one in your city yet and you'd like to start one, email info@wellwomanlife.com. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment and subscribe in iTunes and leave a review. This helps raise visibility, which is super helpful when it comes to producing the show every week. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you were listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @WellWomanLife. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.